Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Get guide in.
This season, we are playing through Oceanhorn 2, Knights of the Forgotten Realm? The Lost Realm? Shoot.
Lost.
Knights of a realm.
Knights of the Lost Realm.
Of a realm once known, but probably not no more.
In our last episode, we were introduced to our hero, our silent protagonist, our main boy.
Dave. Dave.
Person, I don't know.
it's Oceanhorn.
It's you, Oceanhorn.
I continue to call the protagonist Oceanhorn when inadvertently when I'm playing the game, or Terry. You know, Terry. Anyone can be called Terry at any time. So
okay. And we picked up an item, and then we ended up on a boat, and then that's where we left off, and that's where we are going to continue on our little boat.
Dude, not only have we become a boat, we have become, like, the best boat that we've ever become in a game, I think. I like Swirly Motorboat. I like doing donuts in Swirly Motorboat.
We have this little schooner that we just, it just kicks us into the map, and in the last game, whenever you wanted to go to an island, you selected the island, and then you automatically went there. This one, they're just like, yeah, we're just going to let you know, we just made sort of an open map that you can just freely go around. At this time, we can only go to two locations. Really, they only want us to go to one. I mean, technically three. There's the one we came from. There is Arn Village that they want us to go to. There's another island you can stop at, but we don't have the things that we need to progress on it. I immediately just, like, scoped out the whole map.
It looks nuts.
I immediately went to the village we were supposed to go to. I didn't even think we could go anywhere else at first.
It wasn't worth it. It was like, I wanted to push the boundaries. I wanted to see what it was going to let me do. Mm-hmm. I got to see some places that we're going to go in the next episode, like the White City. I could see it. From a distance, and that was actually like kind of cool, just knowing like, oh yeah, it was like that JRPG thing where you get in the overworld and you see this town over these mountains that you can't get across the mountains yet. And I was like, cool, all right, this has a lot more going on with it. And I'll skip ahead a bit. I'm really enjoying this game. This is really hitting some spots for me, and these kind of, it reminds me a lot of PS2 era action adventure games that I just adored.
That's not a bad comparison.
Yeah, I've got some feelings. We'll get into those feelings later.
Okay. For now, let's go into Arn Village. We get into there, and this is your standard town. There's houses. There's people standing outside of them that just say random things that really don't mean much to us right now. It's just sort of world building. Though I would say in this island alone, we get more world building than the entire game of Oceanhorn 1 had.
Yeah, kind of.
So they have a subtitles with this of Valley of the Warden. I don't think we get told like what warden means necessarily. If there's like some kind of lore behind that, I'm not sure what that means. Cause it's like, it's called Arn Village, A-R-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath it describes it as Valley of the Warden. I don't know.
There was another name of an area that I remember being weird for some, I don't remember which one it was though.
So, we get off the boat and we meet Master Mayfair, and we were picking up stuff for him. We meet him, and he's just like, oh, you're, he calls us a knight in training.
You got my box.
Yeah. You got my box, and then he's just like, all right, well, we'll talk about what this box is later. for now, let's eat some food.
Yeah, sure. You must be hungry. You've been adventuring for a very long time.
We do, are prompted then to follow him directly to the house. If you venture off, it does this jarring cut to his face of being like, what are you doing? Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you're at a weird place, the camera kind of gets at an odd angle, like underneath him or something like that. It's a little odd. I don't know why. I don't know. Just let us run around, man. That's what I wanted to do.
You gotta be led through this town the first time.
I would understand it more in Oceanhorn 1 when the map didn't do anything, but now they do a really good job of just like identifying where you're supposed to go. So yeah, like let us wander around and then we'll get there. It'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah, there's also a grave nearby the entrance that's like, hey, I'm such and such dude. I'm dead now, but I will teach you the secret to eternal life. I'm like, sir, I have problems with this logic.
Who knows? Hey, who knows? Maybe we're going to find a ghost later on.
I mean, we might find a ghost later on, but I mean, we might. I guess, is Obi-Wan alive when he talks to Luke? Like, you know, is that really the secret to eternal life? That's sort of like a false advertising at that point.
If you define life as being trapped inside of this meat sack, as opposed to just like consciousness,
fair enough.
Who knows?
Hmm.
We on our way home, we run into Jin. So I just kept referring to these guys as my two dads. We got old dad, we got robot dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Jin is just like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. Oh, and again, we have like voice acting through all of this. Mm-hmm. I think the quality of the voice acting is better than Oceanhorn 1. I don't think it's like spectacular, but it's decent. It's fine. It's not like weird.
A guy reading it into his phone.
Yeah, well, and the voices fit the characters, too. I think that was a problem with Oceanhorn 1 is some, like, our dad talking the whole time was just, like, so deep and serious the whole time, and it just didn't really fit with what we were doing, and at least the voice acting fit.
I think we also brought up the fact that game is in, like, a bunch of different languages, and so someone's got to do that. For every language. So, yeah, you know, sometimes maybe that process gets bogged down.
When we get up to the house, old dad goes and says, you know, food will be ready in a little bit. In the meantime, why don't you go ahead and practice your sword play on the scarecrow over there? And I'm just like, dude, I just fought a bunch of monsters. I'm good.
And is there anything you can actually do by practicing against the dummy?
You get a challenge. You get an XP.
I hit him a few times, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to go inside now.
I mean, yeah. He fights back, too. It's kind of funny.
He does? I didn't get any attacks. Yeah,
if you hang out around him long enough, like, it triggers, like, it almost like it triggers a mechanism. Like, it's, the scarecrow is mechanical because it'll, like, slowly, like, twist and, like,
okay.
Turn in on itself and then expand and strike back. It's weird. It's alive. Almost.
So when we go in the house, really old dad just says, sit down when you're ready and we'll eat. Did either of you look around the house at all?
I think I wandered around a bit, but then I just went and sat down.
Robot dad's looking at an old picture, that if you go up to him, it shows, a group of men, and then one of them they mention is Mesmeroth, but I think it was before it was before he put on his funky mask.
Right, the funky mask was during the war or something.
That was at the end of the war when he ended the war.
Yeah, right.
They also hint. Well, I think this is a little later on, but they talk about how like Jens is he's. Like a soul in a metallic construct.
And they toss it to the side so it's like nothing. And I was like, okay, we're talking about some Ghost in the Machine stuff here right now. What are you talking about? Like, you are souls inside of a robot. What is going on in this world right now? And he's just like, he just says it while you're in the middle of slaying some monsters.
He's like, you know that thing.
To do with what's going on.
You know that thing we do. In this universe, put souls in robots, that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. That was very strange to me. But yeah, that does come later on. But again, it's just such a throwaway line. Might as well, we can just throw it away right now.
Yeah, you know what? In the middle Whatever. Of this. Hey, there are like upgrade shards in this game.
Yeah, we'll I mean, sure. Yeah, we can mention that now. There's vending machines that you can go to. Right, because I guess as soon as old dad went inside and said, like, come in and get your food, I just scoped out the whole town. I just went everywhere that I could. I don't think they don't let you go into the houses yet, I believe. I think you have to, like, wait until something else. I think you have to have dinner. You have to go through what they're going to do to us later.
Okay.
Then you're allowed to go in the houses and explore those. Because I tried doing it, and I was like, well, that sucks. But then realizing, like, oh, they just didn't want me to do that yet because there's certain items that I'm going to get that I think that they were just like, no, you can't do that yet.
Yeah.
So just wait. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to explore around here, including vending machines that we can buy ammo at. And I think this is going to be, I'm going to guess this will be our only store that will be these vending machines. I mean, we're going to go to a big city soon. Maybe there's going to be more stuff there, but the way they were laid out made me feel like vending machines will be the only place for us to purchase things.
Yeah. I mean, there's even a shop in town, but they say, hey, I haven't got the latest shipment or something like that. So go check the vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get these things called shards that you can equip to your weapons. It makes it so I'm sure later on we'll get options. Right now, each shard that we get only works with the one thing that we have, and all we can do is either say, like, do you want to equip this or you don't, or don't
oh.
you?
No.
Oh, no.
You see?
So I think each shard affects a certain attribute, and it's whether or not the items or the spells you have can have that attribute. So, like,
okay,
the first shard you get, which is weird because you can only, it automatically takes you to the gun and you can only equip it to the gun, but that's because if I'm understanding the game correctly, the first shard buffs charge, and so you can only equip it to something that has that charge stat, and at the time the only thing that has is the gun. But later you'll get things that say buffs attack or buffs might, and you can throw it on anything that has attack or might.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah. I just kind of said, like, okay, got it. Equip, move on.
Yeah. But they give you the shards, like you said, like right after you get something typically, and they automatically just, it seems like you can only throw it on one thing, but that's not the case. It doesn't explain it at all, which is one of my gripes of this game, is that it doesn't explain things at all.
Hmm.
It doesn't, and you know, I think there's some games that get away with that, and honestly, I think we give those games a pass. There's plenty of games, like, I mean, I'm playing Metroid Dread right now, and that game will tell you, oh, you got this thing that does this, but it turns out it actually does like two other things too that you just got to figure out on your own. That game does a better job of like getting you to learn that on your own than this one does, but there's plenty of games that have things in there that they just don't tell you, and people will say, like, oh yeah, it's so great because you got to figure this stuff out yourself. So, well,
this is an adventure game. Like, there should be, you should be able to talk to people in the town. You should be able to gather information from things about stuff, especially main game mechanics.
Oh man, I wish I had that shard that I can equip to these things here.
Like, you know,
by pressing the start button.
I mean, I messed around with it for a while, but I still don't understand quite what the shards are, how much, you know, like what the quantity is, or to quantify how much more my thing is better because I put it on this, I put this shard on it as opposed to putting that shard on something else. And yeah, it's really vague with that.
Yeah, I don't know what might is. As right. opposed to, like, attack, I think might is your ability to stun, possibly.
Which is cool, but that's here. I found that out. I don't know if I couldn't remember if we talked about that in the first episode, but there's a parry system in here.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you shield at the right time, you will stun an enemy and, you know, knock them on their back or in their stun state or whatever.
All right, it's really awkward to do.
It's really awkward to do, but I think it even works if you attack them right before they attack you, but I'm not as sure about that. But yeah, there's a parry system in here. That's kind of cool. It'll take some getting used to, but yeah.
Yeah, but did either of you guys spend much time exploring the town?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Going into all the houses and collecting a lot of stuff. There was one house that I went into that I could see a treasure chest on like a second level, and I spent 5 minutes trying to move things around to do like a jump to like climb up on a ledge, only to realize there's a door in the back of it that just takes you to the treasure chest.
Oh, well, I didn't find that door.
Did you manage it or did you give up?
I probably just gave up.
Yeah. There's a.
I was like, I'll get
there's
it
extra doors.
Time. Yeah. I'll get it another time.
I spent forever looking for the lighthouse, because
yeah,
wasn't apparent to me where it was, and someone's like, "Hey, there's a gift for you behind the lighthouse." So I looked around forever. Eventually, gave up, and then when we come back to the lighthouse later, I found it. So,
what was it? A wooden owl that they left behind the lighthouse for you, BC?
It was probably a wooden. Stupid owl.
A 20-cent owl.
sell it to your thrift shop.
We're given a key. We come to a gate where and it's a giant lock on this gate for this key. And that takes us to like the next area where we're going towards the lighthouse. This is still part of our training.
Well, he gave us the key. Didn't they move on? No, that's later, where they move on without us.
Oh, they jump ahead quite a bit without us.
Where they're just like, oh, you're so sleep. You're so sweet. Look at him. He's so sweepy. Oh, let's just let him sleep. And they just like, they bail and they leave us a note like, hey, we got started on the adventure.
That's at the beginning.
You were just you were too cute.
Yeah, after dinner, we go to sleep. We wake up. They're like, oh, you slept in too long. We got our adventure going on. Robot Dad is down there and is just like, oh, I'm excited for you to finish your training and become an actual knight and all of this. Yeah, so we've got a big area to explore, enemies to kill. Did either of you guys find the weird warp point?
Yes, I didn't. I lost my mind.
Is it one of those, the warp point where you like walk in and you're just like in this endless, like,
yes.
Yeah.
I didn't find the one here, but I found one later and I walked out and I was like, okay, cool.
Oh dude, that was so cool.
There's a guy we come across, in front of this giant dome, and he says, hey, I'm an archaeologist. Don't touch any of this stuff. Well, I'm not. A professional archaeologist yet. I'm an archaeologist in training. And then you can find his like application to be an archaeologist over on the side for some reason. It's just like this weird throwaway joke where he's like, I'm an amateur archaeologist. That's the joke.
It's like guy with the brains in Ratchet and Clank where he's just like, I should probably tell people that I'm actually a brain scientist instead of an amateur brain scientist.
But we have a Zelda marble puzzle, to pick up a marble next to it and drop it on the weight to open this thing up. You walk into it and it looks like some alien technology. You walk into there and then you're teleported to this endless looking, it reminds me of in the Water Temple of Zelda, Ocarina, just before you fight your shadow self, where it just has that like endless, there's water on the ground that you're walking through, but there are these gates and you can look at each of them, but they're all just like blocked off when you first do it. But this will be a place that we can quick travel between these areas, which is cool.
It looks rad. It's like hypersonic rhyme chamber. Hypey bonic.
But we keep going forward and we eventually find Robot Dad and he basically says like, all right, this is where it starts. I'm going to help you out from here on. And this is where we get the ability to, he's like in our team now and we can tell him to do things. So if you bring up your radial menu at the bottom, there's two circles and he fills in one of them. And if you're pointing at a thing and bring up your radial menu, you select him, he will like interact with whatever you're looking at. So that's sort of a new weapon we have.
You can also pull up like your crosshair and just hit the D-pad. Yeah, so if you highlight like a switch or a pressure plate, like if you hover over it and then you hit down, I think for Jin, it'll just call him to that or assign him to attack an enemy. So
there's also a treasure chest over there. You can tell him to step on a switch to make it go up. You stand on the platform and you can just say, step on that switch, and he'll step on there. So that's nice. But we hit a switch, open up the gate for the Arn Beacon. And this is where we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will continue our training to become a knight.
Woo!
Hey, Chris, what's the Warrock and Ajax podcast about?
Well, Matt, if we were smart, it'd be about murders. But it's actually about comics.
Warrock and Ajax. It's not about murders. But it is weekly on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
On the Super Nintendad's Entertainment Podcast, catch us grumbling about the news every Monday on the Morning Dadcast, chatting with industry professionals, and most importantly, teaching our kids just how incredible or horrible 80s and 90s video game and pop culture truly was.
All right, what else you got?
A Sega Slingshot.
Don't have a cow, man.
The blast processing was really fast. Why can Knuckles fly even?
Tide Prawn Dough.
What does that even mean?
Samurai Pizza Cats. Gabe, we almost named you Guido Anchovy.
Doing a Belvedere
requires a set of low hangers.
I'm gonna die!
Right here on Greenlit.
So here we are in the beacon. Let's call this a dungeon. In this world, I guess. Although, you know, jumping ahead, we're not gonna have a big boss to fight necessarily. Jumping back real quick. Did you guys find the optional boss in the town?
No.
Okay. So there is there's a message board that you can find where the police of the White City are looking for, I believe they just called him like the Red Leader or something like that.
Sure.
I know that's Star Wars, but I don't remember what they actually called him. But if you look around, you can find some secret stuff. And there is, I believe this is after we open up the gate towards the lighthouse. There is, because we have some big fields to go through. There is a alternate path that you can take where you can find him and you can fight him. And he's a giant one of the red crab guys.
Okay.
And you get a little boss battle to fight him. And then when you beat him, it says he has been taken away to the White City jail, and go get your reward there. So I'm hoping there's going to be a bunch of like alternate boss, like, you know, optional boss battles in here. That'd be pretty cool.
Is that I saw there's like a bounty on one of the gates in town. So I wonder if there'll just be those everywhere. So.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. But anyways, we're in the beacon. We're exploring. Before we get our special item in here, we are still prompted again with the elements where we have to set something on fire to burn a wood wall that's blocking our path. Yeah, that's kind of the theme of this one.
You can do the thing where you carry the fiery barrels. Have you noticed that when you turn, like the animation of fire, it shoots fire out whenever you pick a new cardinal direction. So if you just stand in one place and spin, it just shoots fire forward for like a few frames at the very beginning of the animation. And so, yeah, I've stood in the middle of a group before and just set them all ablaze, basically.
Okay.
Cool. But as we go through here, it's not that long. Part of the way through, we run into Master Mayfair, and this is where he says, I'm going to tell you what was in that box you got me.
You've been carrying a gun this whole time.
Right.
Glad you didn't get pulled over.
We already had a gun, but now we have a magic gun.
Yay.
These are like the knight's guns, which it grants us a new ability to shoot fire bullets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything to affect our previous bullets. It should have been done. It'd been nice if, like, I don't know, we got unlimited regular bullets now or something.
See?
This is going to be, this is going to be a sticking point for me throughout this game, is that you do not collect bullets fast enough for how quickly you can burn through them.
Yeah.
Where firing off a bullet will possibly require you to collect 3 bullet pieces to get 1 bullet back. And that means like slashing through grass or barrels or bags or buying them.
So my sticking point is that I feel like you don't collect any of the expendable items fast enough. So whether it be like the spell parts or the bullets. And it's also like, it's inconsistent how much you get. So there's going to be a point later where, you know, you can pick up spell, like items that go towards your spell, but then certain items are going to refill way more of the spell bar than others. And like the only reason you know is because of kind of just like context clues, like, oh, this search point is next to this thing, so I'm going to get, you know, more energy for my spell.
Mm.
I would not be surprised if as we level up, we get things that, you know, we already know we're going to get things that'll increase our max capacity for those, but possibly make it where like you will find more parts now.
I think, the amount of power you get from items will increase or something like that. You now gain more magic power when you pick up a thing that has magic or something like that. There's also the, you know, you're going to have to get a clip extender for your magic clip, whatever, for your magic gun. Here, you can now have 2 more bullets in your magic clip.
I will point out, Brian, last episode you did call us getting elemental bullets for our gun. When I was being very hopeful about what kind of interesting items we're going to get, and you flat out said like, elemental bullets or something.
Light bullets or fire bullets.
But it could be cool. Like if it's used well, it's fine. And I think we're going to find later, we'll find some interesting puzzles that I wasn't expecting.
I think it's
say that they're like good puzzles, but they're different. They're not,
not good puzzles coming up, but, it's cool. It's a cool idea of the, you know, like the magic gun that can shoot the different elements. I don't know. I've got problems with it, but I also think like that's a cool idea, I guess.
It's very Outlaw Star.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm watching a lot of anime lately. I should watch some Outlaw Star.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you haven't seen Outlaw Star, he has a gun that casts spells. I mean,
yeah.
I was like, what game was that? What did that come out on?
the magic gun is like a knight gun, and it's like there are a limited supply of these, and so like you have to decommission someone before you can commission someone, I think is what I inferred.
Well, when you die, they bury you with your gun, and we dug up the grave of one of the old knights.
Okay. I thought old man Mayfair was going to be like, and now you have to kill me to complete the circle.
This is the circle of knights.
Okay.
When you dig up their corpses.
Well, I think the implication is that they just didn't need them anymore after the war. Because they were saying after the war, they stopped making them because the mages moved out of the White City. So
we need to talk about the war, because Mayfair brings it up with us, basically saying that it was like human versus dire folk.
Mm-hmm.
The dire folk are the people that, Mesmeroth led to attack Arcadia. But it makes it sound like this is
the goblin dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, the goblins. Yes.
From the first game.
So, old dad starts talking about the mask that was left behind that Mesmeroth took from the beast or the evil Shadow Maga, which I believe was Q's original name.
Yeah. That was fun.
Okay.
I know, I got it. Don't worry. I'm just like, I'm blown away by the fact that that's the name of the evil in this game.
I mean, hey, Shadow Maga's bad, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
It's bad. Oh, it's very bad.
So also, I guess the guns are called casters. We didn't mention that. So that is okay. What this is. It's not going to matter. It does the same thing as the gun before us. I don't understand why. We shouldn't have had a gun to begin with. Why did they give us a gun to begin with?
Yeah, that's weird.
It would be more impactful for us to be given the gun at this point, because it's still early on. We're only like 2 hours into this game so far. Yeah.
Did we need the gun at all for any of the early puzzles?
There was a puzzle, yes. There was a puzzle to shoot before everything. But
there was one.
Could just not do it.
Not do it or give us a slingshot or something to be like, ooh, see, now you have a gun.
But anyway, we go through this puzzle now. We can set things on fire. We can easily burn down walls and also these like spiky plants that will block our way. You can burn those down now too, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. If you have bullets.
If you have bullets, naturally. Like I said, that is going to be an ongoing issue with this. I feel like this is going to be the most frustrating thing because I already ran into an issue later on where I'm like, all right, I got to figure out this elemental puzzle, but I have to run around and slash bushes to collect bullets right now so that I can try it again as I, you know, trial and error my way through this puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get out of this dungeon, we come out on some other side near our house, and we get home, and then we see a plane crash. Well, it flies over us, and then you assume that it crashes somewhere else. And old dad says he knows exactly who that is.
I know that convenient guy. I've seen that ship.
Yeah, I saw him up in there. I know who that is.
I've got the police scanner. I'm always listening.
We're told to go help them, and that we can use the secret path that I have in the back. It's just covered by spikes right now.
Yeah,
right.
Where was the secret path when I needed to get into the forest in the first place?
Uh-huh.
That was part of your training. Our training is now complete.
You've got the gun now. Be quiet.
you're certified. There is so we do come across there's a part right after the shortcut where there's this pillar that has the symbols of like the old ancient runestones or whatever.
Yeah.
They were. And if you go up there, you can do an Assassin's Creed style like pull away.
I really enjoyed this. I thought it was cool, like, huge visual improvement over the last Oceanhorn. Obviously, we've been saying that, but it was kind of cool to see, like, oh, yeah, they built a full-fledged town, and it looks gorgeous. Like,
mm-hmm. I was just confused as to, like, okay, that was awesome. Did something happen? Did I get
XP.
Has my map changed? Yeah, I guess you get XP, but... Has my map changed at all? But yeah.
No, honestly, yeah. Don't do the Assassin's Creed thing where it's just like, yeah, now you get all these beacons that show up and all these little markers on your map to go collect feathers and things. We then could just move forward. We do come across the spider bots that, if you remember from the first game, those are the ones that Mesmeroth was. Yeah, those are the ones he was sending at us, so kind of a hint if you know that, just being like, oh, these are the bad guys, you know, these are beyond just like monsters, these are like intentionally here, someone sent these things here,
or they were in the plane and then it crashed and so now they're just running loose on the island.
It's possible.
Yeah. That was what was attacking the plane, why it crashed, is it was covered in the spider bots.
Oh, sure, right, okay.
So we eventually run into this girl who's fighting off stuff, and after we kill all the monsters around her, she talks to us, and she is snarky. If she asks like why you're here, and I was like, well, because Master Mayfair told me to, and she was like, oh, you just do what people tell you to do, and I was like, Dang. Okay. Good. Nice to meet you too.
I can't wait for you to tell me to do things.
Yeah.
She makes this whole big deal about how I didn't need help. And I don't know if this was the same way for you guys, but in the little scene where you have to fight the spider boss, she immediately got triple teamed and like was at a sliver of health with like immediately. And I was like, you were dying. You were legitimately dying.
She don't need no man. Any of you guys have your partners die?
Yes, once.
What happens?
They just lay on the ground for a while, and I don't know what triggers them to come back. I tried to use the heal spell, and I couldn't do anything, but eventually Jin just got back up.
Okay, I was worried, your partner died, game over. Glad to hear they don't do that. But anyways, this is Trin, T-R-I-N. And we don't really know. We still just don't know anything about her at this moment. We're told to help her, and she's just like, okay, yeah.
She came here looking for someone, right?
Well, she says she's from Mechanical Assault and Reconnaissance.
Mm.
And
she's doing a terrible job of reconnaissance when she's followed here, I think, is what she says. Like, oh, no, they followed me here.
Yeah. And she just says that she needs to talk to old dad. The whole reason she was flying here is because she needed to see him because she has important information for him. She joins our team. She follows us around and I don't know. Like the team stuff is like weird because they're not, sometimes they're near you. Sometimes they disappear. I feel like there's been times I look around and I'm like, I don't know where you're at right now.
Well, like
I'll turn a corner and suddenly you're there.
Right. If you look away from them and then turn back and look behind you, if they get stuck, say like you drop off a ledge and they get stuck up there or they get stuck on some geometry, if you run far enough, they will just blink into existence behind you. It's that kind of AI.
You can also, just open up the menu and call them to follow you. And I think sometimes that'll make them hop to you. One thing just on the subject of the AI that I hate is that I don't understand what engages them for battle. Sometimes they'll attack people and then other times they will not. Like, I've literally died because I was, like, fighting enemies, and then I'm just waiting for Jin's and Trin to do anything. And I'm like, I died while you guys are just watching me fight this cactus thing. What's the deal?
Yeah, it's not the best party system.
Huh.
And you can tell them to attack, but it still takes them, like, 10 seconds to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, she'll throw her little Kroll glaive at things for you, but like that you can't necessarily, it doesn't do much damage and you can't like depend on it to happen very often.
Yeah, well, you can get her to like hit switches, which was funny, is there's a part coming up here soon where she's specifically like, tell me where to throw this to hit that switch. And I was like, honey, I already got that switch earlier. I spent an hour looking, like combing through this town. Mm-hmm. Like, I already got it. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just basically sequence breaking some of these things here in terms of the dialogue.
I've had that happen a few times, I think, or at least a couple. I don't know. But yeah, where they're like, I killed something and they're like, we're going to have to fight them. I'm like, okay.
So we get back to town and it's under attack.
Oh, no.
Giant dark figures that they have these big black spaceships that are like dug into the ground. This is where we get a stealth section. Like it's you can fight all these enemies, I believe.
It's harder. Did fight all the enemies because I couldn't get the stealth to work. Like people would just see me from halfway across the map. And you know what's easier than stealthing through this? Just shooting the dudes in the face. Like, it takes like two headshots to kill these guys. Yeah.
With just regular bullets or magic bullets?
The most damaging thing you can do to these guys is shoot them in the face with normal bullets from a distance.
Well, no, the most damaging thing you can do is back attacks, because that's how I got through here.
Yeah, back attacks.
I did sneak attacks.
I mean, I'm sure a headshot and a critical sneak attack are about the same amount of damage, but yeah. You can also just run past a lot of them, too.
In the next part, I absolutely did that.
Because the opening area is, like, five dudes real close to you, and they're like, sneak your way out, buddy! And I'm like, what? I tried swimming around to the other side of this island or whatever. Like, I kept dying on that. I found a bunch of different places where I could stop to rest, but eventually I couldn't make the final whatever. But yeah, I killed all of them for a while. That was fun. They all eventually come back, even when you die over and over again, and just eventually ran past them, jumped down onto the bridge, and yeah, just did that.
You can also pick up their guns, which is actually kind of helpful.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I didn't do that. Yeah, again, so
that was a challenge.
Was able to actually stealth through all of them. And in fact, the AI screwed up on one where they just walked out to sea and died. I was just watching him, and he just walked into the water and started swimming a bit and then just, like, drowned.
Maybe he looked at the devastation around him and was like, maybe this isn't the way. What have I done?
He Kate Chopin'd himself.
We also randomly get bombs. There is a little station that had wood planks in front of it that we can burn open now. And they have bombs in there. So there you go. So we go through all of this. We eventually make it back to a little secret hideout. To meet Master Mayfair there. And the
whole
villagers
town.
Are hanging out there. Well, the quote-unquote whole town, there's like four people there, although I guess I didn't count how many people were in the town before.
Mm-hmm. They've evacuated to the caves.
We go and talk to all of them, and they just basically say, okay, well, we got to get to the White City. This is where we need to go. We got to get, everyone's going to be safe in here for right now. You need to get to the White City, and we need to get, like, reinforcements.
Did either of you play the card game?
What?
Yeah. There's a
card game in this?
Oh, yeah, I did.
This is a Final Fantasy?
I won, and I didn't understand why.
I lost, and I also did not understand why, because they don't explain anything. Like,
no, they don't.
The game is called, like, Nine Arc or something like that. But if you talk to one of the women in the cave, she says, hey, my favorite, I love board games. My favorite one is Nine Arc. And then if you go to the table next to her, you can play Nine Arc. One, it's a card game, not a board game. Two, they don't explain the rules. So you're just,
they don't explain the rules. In fact, when she said, like, I like board games. Do you like board games? And I like this board game. And I was like, I bet that's, like, a board game that the publisher publishes. I'm going to go look this up on my phone right now. And they're like, Nine Arc, the game inside of Oceanhorn 2. And I'm like, oh, dear God. Okay. All right. Let me see it.
So they sell a physical version of this? Is that what you're
saying? No. I thought it was just some game that the publisher also has a hand in. And they're like, pimp this thing in Oceanhorn. Throw a reference to it in there. Give them the website. You know, sort of thing. But no, it's in the game.
So, Master Mayfair also explains to us that Trin is basically a princess.
Yay! She's basically Princess Zelda from the cartoon.
She's not that bad. So, in order for us to escape to the little back way, old dad gives us his old hover bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a letdown.
Total.
It was so cool for like the first 3 seconds, and I was like, oh, this handles like garbage.
Well, you have to get to it first. You have to like go through the town and do all that crap.
We have to run through everything again, which, like I said, I ran. I was like, screw it. I don't have time for this. I'm just going to run past everyone. They all have slower than Star Wars bullets. Like, you can just slowly see them passing you by. You can run past everything.
Probably a good choice so you didn't get hit with artillery constantly.
Yes. I did want to point out that old man Mayfair says, don't worry about the townsfolk. They're very strong and can live in these caves for a, they're going to be in here for the rest of the game, just so you know. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. Just go.
Right. When we get the hover bike, what I love is when you the very first second that you are in the hover bike section, the what pops up on the screen, it says A to get off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I saw the A button, immediately pressed it, and we hopped off, and I'm just like, wait, what's going on? And they're like, no, get back on the bike. I'm like, why did you give me the option to get off? Like, we're in a straightforward section where they don't want you to do anything but use the hover bike. Don't let me get off the hover bike. Why do you even prompt me to get off of it at all?
The reason that it's like that, I'm almost certain, is that they code it, but you're going to get the hover bike later and you can jump off of it later. And they didn't code it so that you couldn't get off in this section. That's what it is. Like, it's not different.
Well, when the hover bike is stationary, the A button prompt shows up. Because,
well, it's just like on a horse, right?
Yeah, right.
We go through this whole section that is like this bombastic scene of everything blowing up around us. The enemies are shooting lasers at us. Rocks are falling down. At some point, we go down into a cave, and we're in the cave, and it's collapsing underneath us, and we're like dodging enemies and all that.
It's a pod race.
It's fine. It's fine. Because the hover bike, the movement is wonky on it. You just use a stick. You just push forward on the stick. But I hate games that make you push forward because you can never really go in a straight line with it when you're using like analog sticks, just because there's always some wiggle in there that you're going in a different direction. You're always trying to correct.
Especially if you're using a Joy-Con. Joy-Cons are really tough to hold true north on.
Yeah, so we get through all of this. There is like another little side area you can go down. There's just this like this cave you can go drop down and circle around and get some stuff. I like all these optional things we've been getting in here.
Yeah, I like that there's optional stuff to explore. It just feels kind of trite when you get to the end and it's like, here's 100 gold. It's like,
yeah,
did you give up on giving me? Like, this is just a bag of gold. Did you give up on giving me dumb treasures? Like, couldn't have been a golden owl that was worth 100 gold at least? I don't know. That's just me.
We do get this cutscene where we're stopping and waiting for old dad and robo dad to meet up with us. Mm-hmm. And we go to a campfire and basically hang out for a little while. And Trin goes and tells us about how... basically how her grandmother died and all this stuff, and she was trained by her grandfather to be a fighter as opposed to, you know, what was expected of her as just royalty.
Uh-huh.
To just eventually take over the throne and make decisions. Instead, she was like, he handed me a sword and we practiced and I knew that I would never be a princess.
Not even her grandfather, Mayfair. Like, old
was
dad.
Was it Mayfair that did it? Okay.
Yeah, old dad's like her inspiration, because her grandfather doesn't pay attention. He's too busy trying to build giant living fortresses to protect
that's
Arcadia.
Right. Archimedes. Oh, right. Archimedes,
yes.
He's
Archimedes, yes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. That doesn't end well.
Why is he... I don't know. Why does it have to be his grandfather? I don't know. Like, is there... I don't know. Where's their dad? Where are her parents?
It's just a story archetype, man. Like, it's always the grandparents.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We slept here, and then in the morning, Mayfair shows up and basically says, like, we gotta move on, and we've got a full packed team right now.
We got a whole day to get to the station before nightfall. Yeah, no, I mean, Mayfair like doesn't really, you can't control him, but you've got two buddies.
Yeah, Mayfair's there and he does nothing. Absolutely nothing. But why?
Yeah, he just shows. He shows up when he needs to say things for story reasons. But for the most part, you can't like. Can you even see him like when you're actually in battle? Like, I feel like he disappears.
Every once in a while, I saw him.
Yeah, like he'll pop up when it's like, during downtime. Like, oh hey, I forgot you were even with me. Yeah, I didn't see you while I was getting my butt kicked.
I was thrown off in terms of location because we're going through these things and I'm just like, where are we right now? Because I had told, and it doesn't help that I had told you to play until you get off the island. And then yeah. I'm just like, wait, are we on a different island right now? Like, yeah. I could not tell.
We took the swoop all the way out of Mos Espa and now we're, you know. Where are we? Are we even in a different moss area?
But no, we're still in the other. We're still in the same area. We come across some ruins to go through. There's some more puzzles in there about hitting switches, and then at some point we can tell the other two to stand on a switch to open up a gate. We go through all of this, and then eventually we also find another gun upgrade already. Mm-hmm. Pacing has been a little weird. But we can, and again, you just open it in a random chest. You find the canister that holds the electric bullets. And now we can shoot both fire and electric.
Well, you're supposed
and
to.
This is where. You're
supposed to lock your bullets separate from your gun.
Yeah. So. Miles away in ancient ruins, you keep your bullets all the way over there.
Yeah.
This is an issue where the game does a terrible job of explaining to you what this gun does and how it works and what they expect you to do. Because there's a diagram that shows three poles. The first one has a circle on it. The second one doesn't. And the third one has like a triangle or a diamond on it. And it shows like a line going through them. And it's like, what do you want me to do?
It says 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. As oh, if, yeah. It says 1, 2, 3. Yes.
And like, you know, you're trying to turn on the power to something. And the first one to your left is electrified. So it's like, all right, that one has electricity. I'm going to shoot 2 and 3 to give them electricity.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And illustrated diagrams, we've seen them before in these games, you know, Zelda or Zelda like. But they're usually just like on the wall as a joke or an afterthought at like for something that the game has already told you. And like we turn and look, go like, oh, hey, look, they've kind of illustrated it, too. That's cute. I'm glad that they also told me how to do it.
Yeah. So what you have to do, and this is really unintuitive. Like, I did either you have to like look this up.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You eventually figure it out.
Oh, no,
okay.
I figured it out eventually.
Yeah,
I didn't know I could drag my gun. Drag my bullets across the sky.
You shoot the first one, but it's not like your gun. It'd be interesting, like if you shot it and then your gun transformed to make it clear that you're supposed to do something else right now.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot it, and once it's electrified, you can use your gun as a cursor to drag a line of electricity to other points. And then you have to connect those three points to make a, you do that to make a circuit. And okay, you did that one. Then the very following puzzle is a similar one, but with two extra middle parts that you apparently have to hit in a certain order. And it did not make it clear that you have to hit all of them. I thought it was trying to just be like, well, you see, one of these are the only ones that work. If you go the other way, it doesn't work. No, you have to hit all of them in a specific pattern. And again, if you do it wrong, you just wasted your ammo. You don't get your ammo back.
No, you don't. So, and it takes forever to find ammo in this area. Nothing drops ammo.
So there are, if you go into the shed right by where you get the bullets, there's a little memo that says, oh, hey, I discarded the automaton batteries over in the junkyard on the other side of the fence. So in my head, I was like, oh, I got to look for these batteries. But really, if you walk around, there's like batteries lying on the ground, and the search points near those give you like a third of a charge or like half a charge each one you pick up. So essentially what I did was I went to those batteries, picked them up, then went, if you go into the fast travel warp spot,
right,
come right back out, it replenishes all those search points. So you can go in.
Right, okay.
Come back out, grab those, go in, come back out, grab those.
Because that's eventually what I was doing, but I think I was trying it. I was respawning it in a different way than that. So,
yeah.
Got it. But we go do that. That power's on the train. We get on the train, and we're going to head towards the White City. For the next episode, we're going to go to the Oru Village. There's a number of things to do in the White City. But after we do that, we'll go check out where the Orus live, go take a nap in the hotel, and then we're going to go ahead and take a break from there on out. So there's plenty of stuff to explore, plenty of stuff to collect. Go do all of that. Hang out in the Oru Village. And then we'll be back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden!